All right, let's take our Bibles and turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet, I'm not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul has declared the gospel unto the church there at Corinth. Now, remember, the gospel is the declaration of God's eternal will and purpose to save a people of His choosing and elect that He, before the foundation of the world, placed in the Lord Jesus Christ to be represented by Him. Sent Him into the world, made of a woman, made flesh, made under the law, answerable to every demand of the law on behalf of the elect, that He might fulfill every point of God's demand for righteousness, that righteousness earned by Christ would be imputed, charged to, accounted to those that God gives a heart to believe on Him. And then, when it pleases the Lord, He places them under the sound of this gospel, and the Spirit of God that blows like the wind. We don't know where He's going, when He's going to cross the path, but when it pleased God, He takes that vessel of God's mercy and He comes to them in power, that unction, that anointing, and Almighty God gives them a new heart. He creates life, creates a new man, teaches them what Almighty God has everlastingly purposed, gives them faith to believe, and they believe God. And He keeps them. They're kept. Now that's the gospel. Man is the recipient of the gospel. He's not the source of life, he's the recipient. We're saved, we're rescued by grace, taught that through faith. And even that faith is not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Paul had preached the gospel to those in Corinth. He said, "Woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel." What he said was this: if I don't have a heart for the gospel, then God has not taught me the gospel. And if God's not taught me the gospel and saved me by grace, woe is unto me. I'm going to hell. That's what he said. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. And when he preached the gospel, he said, "I preached unto you how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, we're going through 1 Corinthians, and here's where we are, right here. Then he says in verse 9, concerning himself being an apostle, taught the gospel by the Lord personally. taught by Christ verbally. Commissioned to preach the gospel to Gentiles, kings, the children of Israel. But the thing about it was, Paul never saw himself as being anything other than concerning being an apostle. He never saw himself as being anything other than the low man on the totem pole. That's how he saw himself. This man that God used to write, to pen a major portion of the New Testament. This is what Paul said of himself. For I am the least of the apostles. I'm not meet, I'm not fit to be called an apostle. And here's the reason. Because I persecuted the church. Here's what he said. None of the other apostles did what I did. I treated God's elect with hatred and resentment. I treated those that Almighty God eternally loved. I treated those that Christ shed His blood for. I treated them with disrespect. Paul said of himself in 1 Timothy 1:13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, an injurious, one who spoke blasphemously of the name of the Lord, who accused him outwardly and especially in his heart, because that's where his mouth came from, of being an imposter, being a deceiver. He said in Acts 22, verse 20, he said concerning himself, he said this words, when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. I held the coats of those that stoned your servant, the one you'd called out of darkness, the preacher of the glorious gospel. He said, that's what I did. I was injurious. I was a blasphemer against God. He said in Acts 26, verse 9, concerning his actions before he was converted, I verily thought of myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints, the sanctified ones, did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. He said, I'm not fit to be an apostle. I'm not fit to be called one. I'm the least of them. Obviously, Paul never forgave himself, though the Lord had forgiven him. But though a believer is assured of his forgiveness in Christ, he carries something with him that weighs heavily on him. And I can tell you this from experience. There's a remembrance of past disrespect toward the Lord and toward His people, coupled with the knowledge of the continual presence of the old man. That's sin that dwelleth in the flesh. And it causes that awareness of our unworthiness. I am, is what he said. Now, here's the wording. For I am. I was the least. But now, since I've been so mightily used of God, since I was transported to the third heaven, heard things that I can't even speak of. I don't even know how to speak of them. I don't know exactly what he meant. Whether he just couldn't say it, or it was impossible, or he just completely... He said, I knew such a man. And these things that were unspeakable. No, it wasn't that I was the least. He said, I am the least of the apostles. Not meet that I should be called because I persecuted the church. There was a present awareness. But then he said this, but. And this, here's where a believer can truthfully say, I've got some hope. I think back on me, and I told you before, there's only one person sitting in this congregation this morning that knew me before the Lord was pleased to save me. And I promise you, you know, she could tell you some stuff. But, Paul said, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, we know what Paul was before, because he said, who was before? A blasphemer, persecutor, and injurious. But now he's said to be something other than that. And whatever he is now, it's by the grace of God. Whatever Paul was said to be by the grace of God after being converted, and whatever it is, that would be an accurate description of every believer. Now, I want you to listen to what he said. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I read that, and then I got thinking, well, okay, by the grace of God, what are we? By the grace of God, I am what I am. What are you, Paul? First of all, Paul, by the grace of God, admitted himself to be a sinner. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul, by the grace of God, realized this is what I am. Now all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now we know that. All men are sinners, but all men don't perceive themselves. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Two men went into the temple to pray. One of them was a Pharisee, one of them was a publican. And that Pharisee stood up and says, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. I'm glad I'm not. I know I'm not like that guy right over there. And that guy over there said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, again, what is a sinner? A sinner is one that can do nothing but sin. That's all he does. That's all I can do. Now, there's a new man that's imparted. And the Scripture says, concerning that new man, that which is born of God, sinneth not. But Paul the Apostle said, I see in me, that is in my flesh, in my old man, my old nature, that I'm bound to, there dwelleth no good thing. There is nothing in me but sin. And this was his conclusion concerning himself being a sinner. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul recognized himself to be worthy. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. I bet you if you asked Peter, I bet he'd say the same thing. They'd all say the same thing. The Apostle Paul knew himself worthy of eternal separation from God. I'm worthy of that. He knew that God was just, would in no wise clear the guilty, but he said, by the grace of God, I'm a sinner. And it's for sinners that Christ came into this world to save. If that's the only ones that the Lord's going to save, is sinners, self-confessed sinners, those made to cast themselves upon the mercy of God. If that's the only ones that God's going to save, Paul says, by the grace of God, that's what I am. I'm one of those. Secondly, by the grace of God, the Apostle Paul confessed himself not only to be a sinner, but one who was the object of God's compassion and love. Now look back, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. All men are sinners. All have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, come short. But I obtained mercy. By the grace of God, I am a vessel of God's mercy. God chose to show mercy to me. Now every believer would say that. Why would the Lord be pleased to show mercy to me? Why me? And out of the vastness of people that the few that I see, which is a lot, and you too. So many that have no interest. No interest. You try to tell them, why would God be pleased to stop me? Why would He stop me like He stopped Saul of Tarsus? Why? Why? Because it pleased Him. That's what Ephesians 1 says. He did it according to the good pleasure of His will. I'll have mercy and compassion, He told Moses, on whomsoever I will. Lord, if You had not stopped me and gave me a new heart, shown mercy and compassion to me, I'd be doing the same thing that so many in this world are doing. And I wouldn't care. I would not care. Wouldn't bother me a bit. He said in 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. The grace of God, because of which I received mercy, superabounded to me, Paul said. And with love, it flowed from its source. Almighty God Himself. Oh, the sweet preciousness of the revelations of God's mercy and compassion on sinners. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, but Noah found grace. Was Noah looking for it? No man seeketh after God. That's what Scripture says. Noah found grace. What does the word found mean then? It means obtained, acquired. Noah obtained acquired grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not because any man is looking for it. What would you look for? How? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Whenever the Lord was here, the Scripture says in John 1:43, the day following Jesus would go into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. He found Philip. In Luke 1:30, speaking of Mary, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor. You've obtained grace in the sight of the Lord. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm a sinner, but a sinner that has obtained mercy. That's by grace. Thirdly, by the grace of God, Paul, a sinner who had obtained mercy, and the Spirit of God gave him a new heart, imparted life within him. And that life was exhibited. I got to thinking about that. You know, the Scripture says you'll know them by their fruit. I got to thinking about that. And then I thought, where would I go to set forth the manifestation of a believer? Hold your place there, but turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. The Lord's preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And He says in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 3, He said, blessed of God, blessed by God's grace, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are made to know something of their spiritual poverty. That is just great on you when you hear people talking about bragging about how much they've done for the Lord and how much they, you know, I'm thinking, shut up. You just make, you know, He said, without me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything. Blessed are the poor in spirit, made to know something, taught something of their ruin in Adam's fall. You're blessed to know, Lord, I need you. Because they know that Christ must save them. Blessed are those. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For those lowly-minded ones belong the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. They're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. How do you know them? They're poor in spirit. They know something of what they are. Blessed, verse 4, are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn over the indwelling sin that they see in themselves. They grieve daily over their shortcomings. They're going to be comforted because they're taught of the forgiveness of God by the blood of Christ. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit. And listen to this. The earth. They'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those that bow to the good providence of God, the meek, patiently waiting in adversity, submitting to the will of God. It's the Lord. That's what Eli said. You know, how's it going with the battle? Well, not going well for us. And your two sons are dead. And he said, it's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. It's the Lord. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, I'll turn with me to Revelation 5:10. I'm going to read two passages of Scripture, and I'll just go ahead and just tell you right now that I can read it, but being able to explain the fullness of it, I'll go ahead and just tell you right now, I can't do it. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. Let's just read 9 and 10. Here's they sung a new song. Here they are, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. Now here's the part. And we shall reign on the earth. These are glorified saints. These are in heaven. And Almighty God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And they said, And we're going to reign. He's going to reign. And we'll reign in Him. And also look at Revelation 22:5. Revelation 22:5. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. I cannot tell you the fullness of what shall be the circumstance of God's people when the Lord makes a new heaven and a new earth. But I can tell you this. According to Matthew chapter 5 and these verses in Revelation, blessed are the meek, those that submit, those that have been made to submit, bow to the good pleasure of God, they shall inherit the earth. You know, if that would have said, they shall inherit the kingdom, the heaven, it did say that first. You say, okay, I can. They shall inherit the earth. What will that be? I don't know. But I can tell you this. There's a promise to God's people. There's a promise to those that Almighty God has been pleased. Blessed, verse 6, are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who recognize that their own righteousness is nothing but filthy rags, and they hunger spiritually to be robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But the Scripture says they're going to be filled and satisfied according to the sweet word of the judge. Well done. Enter in. Enter in. You're going to be satisfied. What's that? Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. A sinner. A sinner to whom God's shown mercy. And a sinner that God Almighty has imparted life. And that life is exhibited by the Spirit of God. Verse 7, back in Matthew 5. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the compassionate. Those that have received a new heart of compassion from the One who has been pleased to show compassion to them. And therefore they desire for others to hear of Him who shows mercy. The compassionate. The compassionate. One of the sweet verses of Revelation here, the compassionate, the merciful. I thought about that woman at the well in Samaria. She came to the well and the Lord asked her for a drink of water and she said, I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. Well, you know, Jews and Samaritans don't have any dealings with each other. And he said, if you knew who you're talking to, you would ask of me. And I'd give you living water. And you'd never thirst again. And he began to talk to her and in the good providence of God, the Lord did something for that woman. And she left her water pot right there. And here's the merciful. Here's the compassionate. The exhibition of her compassion. She went back into the city and talked to some men. Very possibly men that she'd been, I don't know, just men. And here's what she said, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You talk about compassionate. Compassionate. I want people to come hear the gospel. I want them to hear the truth. I'll see somebody and I'll ask them, so where'd you go to church? You know, won't you come over? Come sit. You know, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. Just sit. Not going to give you a job. No demands. Faith comes by hearing. Come see a man. Come hear what this man's got to say. Look at verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who stand not in themselves, stand in Christ, not satisfied with a mere charade of religion, outward correctness, but they desire to adorn the gospel they preach. They make no boast, no claim from their own works, but only from His. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and He'll stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh. I've read that scripture so many times, and I think, you know what? That's so. I know it's so. Lord, teach me. In my flesh, I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. Mine eyes shall behold not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Or that means, for this my soul pants. Blessed are the pure in heart. They're going to see God. They're going to see Him. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those peace lovers. Oh, desire peace. Desire peace before God and with others for the sake of the gospel. Striving to follow after the things which make for peace among the brethren. And then the last three, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice. And be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Blessed is the man who is persecuted for believing God, for trusting Christ, for proclaiming the gospel, who renounces the hidden things of dishonesty, who said, I don't believe that which is false. I don't believe that. Blessed. That doesn't walk in craftiness, handling the Word of God with deceitfulness. Blessed are those that confess Him. He said, I'm going to confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. If you're reviled and persecuted for the sake of the gospel, if men say all manner of evil against you falsely, they falsely accuse you. Oh, that mess you believe, that's a cult. That's a cult. You know, blessed are you. Rejoice. Be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. I've had people tell me, you know, that stuff you believe about election and predestination, that mess that you come... I said, whoa. Mess? It's what it says. I'm just reading it. I'm just proclaiming what this book says. No. Blessed are you when you're reviled falsely. Paul said, I am what I am, a sinner that Almighty God has been pleased to show mercy, a sinner that the Spirit of God has imparted life, and the manifestation of it, that I would adorn the gospel, the doctrine that I believe. And then lastly, by the grace of God, Paul says, I'm a kept object of God's mercy. By the grace of God, I'm still here. Matthew 10:22, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end in the gospel shall be saved. I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul confessed, I'm still here by the grace of God. He said that in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 to 8. Listen to what he said. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And every believer that sees himself now coming to the end of their life. I mean, I'm thinking, I read what the Scripture says, 70. That's about the average. Well, I'm just right there at it. I'm here I am. I'm right here at what the Scripture says. It says if it goes a little bit longer, it's just pain and suffering. And as we get older, you know, we start believing that, don't we? We start to say, you know what, I believe that's right. Oh, really? Yeah. But listen to what he says. I fought a good fight. Now that's he ain't bragging. He'd given us all. He said, it was not I. That's what he said. He said, it's not me, but the grace of God that was given me. You know, I've stayed here by the grace of God. God has endured me. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Kept the faith. All by the grace of God. None of that was Paul's bragging. Listen to what he said. By the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly. I fought a good fight. I stayed the course. I kept the faith. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not me, but the grace of God, which was with me. I don't have anything to brag on. I'm still here by the grace of God. Well, it's only by the grace of God, because there's times that I just to be honest with you, you get so tired physically, mentally, emotionally. You get so tired and you just think, I just day in, day out. Paul says, I fought a good fight by the grace of God. I kept the faith, finished my course by the grace. And hence there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. If a man or a woman can leave, as I said in the last message, they will. If they don't, it's only by the grace of God, because they're kept. I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul, what are you? Well, I'm a chosen, redeemed, regenerated, and kept sinner that God's been pleased to show mercy. And by God's grace, He's kept me until this time. I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to leave. By the grace of God, we are what we are. May the Lord be pleased to keep us. For Christ's sake and for our eternal good. Amen. Okay.